So we're going to continue in James, and this would have been like 2 weeks ago, but, I was out of town, and it would have been last week, but we had the ice storm, so it kind of messed up our planning, which is kind of what this passage in James is all about. 3 weeks ago, we talked about, in James, humility and God's grace. There were five principles that we talked about: submitting to God, resisting the devil, taking sin seriously, where he says, mourn over your sin, humble yourselves, and don't be judgmental. Then James, and most people think James is almost like a set of Proverbs, you know, that a lot of his principles almost come directly out of the book of Proverbs. But let me read this, and we're going to come up with like three thoughts or main ideas out of this passage, and then two personality types of how you take this passage. Let me read, we're in chapter 4 of James, verses 13 through 17. Let me just read these, they're fairly simple. James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." I even have a handout that I'm going to hand out later. We're going to do a to-do list at the end. If I had a title, I don't usually title mine, but the idea is proper planning. Yogi Berra said, the future ain't what it used to be. He really is. How did he come up with all? Of course, Yogi Berra. He probably half the quotes probably aren't really his, but there's planning. There's planning that people do. I mean, the 2014 and beyond. I just sat down and started thinking about the projects I have. And how many, when you go on an interview, when you went on the interview, did they ask you your 5-year plan? Did they ask you where?
No, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, don't you hate that? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Yeah. You know. And as I sat down and I'm starting to think about how many projects I have, who'll work on it, my travel schedule, and then, it was funny, I was traveling out of town. I was supposed to go to Florida on Monday, and I get ready to leave the house, and I thought, I better call first. Plane was canceled. You know, and these are obviously fairly simple things. A kid laying in intensive care is another whole level. But there's things about planning that, and I'll get into the kind of the personalities as we go through this. Some people are worried, how am I going to pay my bills? When I think about at my stage, and her brother, Diane's brother said this to me, the minute you find out you're going to have a grandkid, you're going to want to retire. And I'm telling you, it's the first thing I thought about. It was like, how could I like stop working? And you listen to the financial planners. Well, how much will I need? And they're going to say millions, right? How long will I live? That's actually a question. How long do I plan on living? When you start thinking about this, on investments, Tony's son does this, on investments, they will always say, past performance is not an indication of future results. Duh. So they give you all of these statistics about all of this stock, and I even have on my iPhone. It tells you what the stock market is doing, and I gotta tell you, there's when it turns red, I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, is there anything I can do about that?
Worry.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get into that in a bit. But then, so there's business planning, there's retirement planning, there's planning for, there's family planning, you know. We just found out about Jonathan and Kim's family planning and Lauren's family planning, and there's people are having babies and you got kids to think about. And then there's, at the end of this, I'd like to think about our church and planning and how do we balance what we would like and what God would like. So that's kind of, as we go through this planning, and the question that most of the commentaries come up, when James says this, when he just says in verse 13, come now, he's like saying, listen, you guys, or you all, depends on where he's from, you who would say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Is James against planning? No. I mean, he's just making a statement. Some of you say this. It's like, and you know, in that economy, there weren't a lot of business people. I mean, there were, and when he's writing to these people, he's writing to the Jews that have been basically, not kicked out yet, but have fled Jerusalem and are spread throughout and are you know, going through persecution, a lot of people think, and it's changed their lives. Their families maybe have abandoned them because they went from Judaism to Christianity. So their life is kind of a mess, you know, and things are up in the air. And he says, well, now think about this. Because, you know, maybe some of them, as they left Jerusalem, well, this could be an opportunity. We're going to go to another city, and let's live there for a year and see what we can do. We'll start a business. I was talking to Amy the other day, and how many of your kids lose phone chargers? Like, all the time. Yeah, all the time. Anyway, we had to go buy a phone charger. And I said, Amy, keep this one in your car. I've got a phone charger in my office. I got a phone charger in Phoenix, and I got a phone charger in my car. She goes, you got a charger in Phoenix? I said, that's my Phoenix office. And I'm like, I have a cubicle. That's... Anyway. So you have this planning, you know, and I think, well, if Phoenix just gives me enough work, I could retire. And then I read, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow. So, James is not saying don't plan. Planning is really part of life. You got to remain a little flexible, but it's part of life. Is James giving us a cliche that we want to say at the end of our planning? Well, the Lord wills. And I know there's people that say that. I have a very good friend that says that every time. And he's a financial planner. And it's really scary when he says, well, if the Lord wills. You know, I mean, you're writing checks to him. Well, but it becomes almost, do you know anybody like that? That if at the end of a statement, they'll say, if the Lord wills. And I'm not sure that's what James is giving us. I'm not sure that he's just giving us, well, I'm pretty sure he's not giving us a cliche to just say at the end of our plan to cover our bases. You know, we're going to do this, 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 and this and make a profit if the Lord wills. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think James's concern is that we don't leave God out of the picture. This isn't a little statement at the end of our to-do list. Well, if the Lord wills. Look that up sometime about God's will. There are some very specific things about what God's will is. We're not going to look at that today. But just what James is saying is just don't tack this on at the end of your plans. Really, this needs to be thought of first. He needs to be brought in first. Let me kind of go through these three little thoughts that James says in verse 14 through 16. Verse 14, he says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. The reality is the future is beyond predicting. It's beyond predicting. You know, you know, and I made plans this morning to get in the truck, get ready, eat breakfast, come here. Who knows? I mean, we honestly do not know tomorrow. We can make plans. I'm supposed to get on a plane again tomorrow to Akron, and I checked my iPhone. The weather was supposed to snow in Cleveland, you know, so I might not get out. It would be, a bit careful. I was going to say it might be nice not to get out tomorrow again, but the reality is I don't know what tomorrow will bring. The future is beyond predicting. Let me read a couple Proverbs. And as you think through this, some of you weren't even born yet. How many of you remember where you were on September 10th, 2001? Was it 2001? How many remember where you were on December 11th when the plane hit? Changed your whole day. I was headed to Washington, D.C. that day. Who knew Monday or the ice storm, what that changed for everybody? You know, we had these friends of ours, Higginses, they lost three trees. The one tree fell on their power line, pulled the power line, their meter off their house, the brick with it. They have no power. They have no trees. They have no fence. No. Did they plan on that? When they went to bed, he said, they in the middle of the night, you could hear, remember, did anybody hear that, with the trees cracking? He said they ran into their kid's bedroom and said, get up, because they were afraid the tree was going to fall on the house. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And there are certain personalities sitting here going, I'm good with that. Other ones aren't so good with it. Let me read a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 27, verse 1. I should have given these out so that I could have done this quicker. Proverbs, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. That's why a lot of people think James was, you know, he was very familiar with the Proverbs, because a lot of these are just proverbial. Do not boast about tomorrow. Well, I'm going to Akron tomorrow, and I'm going to have this great meeting, and we're... All I know is I'm scheduled to go to Akron. That's about all I can say. And I better not boast, like I know what's going to happen there. The second thought that James has in these verses is second half of verse 14. And this I wrote down here, too old, too soon, too smart, too late, because it feel, you know, the little kids in the car last night were, you know, it was really fun, and I'm thinking, they don't ever think about this verse. You are just a vapor that appears a little while and then vanishes away. I mean, when you're little, when you're young, I mean, the kids, I wish I would have had a recording in the car, because the kids were, remember, I mean, they were a little nutty, but, you know, they were kids. But they're standing, Merry Christmas. The people were going nuts. Right? I mean, it was really kind of fun. But kids don't think this. 62-year-old men think this. James, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. I've been listening to three different things. We just heard Billy Graham on TV last night, and I think he was like, he had to be over 65. He didn't look that, but he said, somebody asked me one day about, what have you learned out of all of your time in the ministry? And he says, how fast and brief life is. That was what he learned. He said, that's what I learned most out of all, that life is fast. Ravi Zacharias, I was just listening to him. He said the same thing. He can remember, he was 21 years old. The first time he preached was in Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And he was, you know, too young to be scared, or smart enough to be scared. But he preached in Vietnam and to the, I don't know if it was North, it couldn't have been North Vietnam, but he said, that was his start, and he says it feels like it was yesterday. James, you are just a vapor. It wasn't cold enough last night, but when you, like when in Chicago, when you get up and you get outside and you breathe out and it just goes away. You know, there was also a thing on the internet the other day. It was 46 below in Montana somewhere, and he took a glass of water and he says, "Watch this," and he throws it up in the air and it snows all over him. And it's like And James says, it's okay to plan, but you understand how fast this is. Psalm 90. This is a great psalm. And I let me read part of it. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. It says a prayer of Moses, the son, the man of God. Some of it is. Well, let me read it. I'm not sure I'll read all of it, but Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were born, or thou didst give birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. These are the dusts and the. I have trouble with those. And you have turned. You do turn man back into dust. And you do say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, and it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like the flood. They fell asleep. And in the morning they are like grass, which sprouts anew. And in the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. And toward evening it fades away and withers. When we first moved here, there's some plant that like grows these long shoots. Have you ever seen that? It like sprouts up in one day and then it's gone the next day. I mean, it gets tall. It gets. For we have been consumed by your anger and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. In all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years with a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and the fury according to the fear that is due thee? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad in our days. Make us glad according to the days that you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let thy work appear to thy servants and thy majesty to their children, and let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. You know, Moses at the end of his life, let me count my days that I can just be wise with the days you've given me. And that's what James is saying. When you think about planning, understand your life is brief. This is another thing I thought about last night when we were driving along. The kids were in the back, and they said, how many of these have we done? I don't know if it was Allie or Ashley. It said, how many of these parades have we done? And they started thinking back at, you know, the red truck and the trailer and the days we didn't do it. And I thought, you know, it was cold, and it was, you know, might have scratched my truck a little. No, it didn't. But those memories that those kids had, you know, that's really kind of what it was about. The third principle or third thought that James has is in verse 16. I'm going to skip 15 for a minute. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. You know, I work for a company that puts out a five-year plan every December. They have this booklet that has the five-year plans. This is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And I wish I would have kept some of the older ones. because in 2008, it all changed. You know, and you can put out this brochure, and it's beautiful. It was well-written and looked nice, and the graphics were great. Look what we're going to do. We're going to, and one of their goals is to be, I think, I forget what it's called, a tier one architect, tier one architecture firm. It even sounds cool, you know, tier one. 2008, architects were hoping they could hang on. You know, don't boast, James said, don't boast in your arrogance because it's evil. Don't think that because you have planned all this, it's the way it's going to go. That's because this is what I work in, and people are, architects are like, you know, some of the buildings you build now, I mean, they have about a 75-year lifespan. You know, they're not like the Parthenon that's going to be here 2,000 years. These buildings aren't going to be there in 100 years. But it's like, look what I built. And it's in all our brochures. It's in all of the pictures. Even, you know, they have professional photographers come out and take pictures of the buildings. The buildings really don't even look like that. Like, you know, there's airbrushing on the buildings too. It's not just. So James has those three comments. If you're going to plan, understand these three thoughts. The future is really beyond your predicting. Your life is short. Here today and gone tomorrow. And don't boast. Don't boast about your plans. And so in this thing, there's kind of two, I think, two personality types that kind of look at this. There's the assertive types that, how many of you do, I don't want to put you on the spot, how many of you do to-do lists every week? How many do a to-do list? Do a to-do list? You follow hers, probably, right?
No, I haven't.
But there's kind of the assertive people, the business, you've been around these guys, the business people. Here's what we're going to do, and here's our five-year plan, and we're going to take these steps, and we're going to accomplish this plan, and we're going to move ahead. It's like, remember years ago, Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and everybody was doing this. You know, you begin with the end in mind, and forget them. There's seven of them. Seven. Obviously, I'm not one of the highly effective people, but they are. You've been around these guys, and you're like, sometimes I wish, wow, I wish I could have some of that. You know what I mean? Just a little bit. So there's people that really want the plans laid out. Just give me an idea, and let's sit down and plan this out. Those are kind of the assertive, and they seem to accomplish a lot. Then, next to the assertive, there's the anxious. Which one do you think I fall in? The worried people. The people that get cynical about planning. That I should have brought my to-do list. I have them in my briefcase. I have about four of them. I do a to-do list on Mondays, and by Friday I kind of find it because I usually lose it. And sometimes I'll go through. There are times that I will literally go through, because Diane taught me this. You can color code them, and you know, well, I did this, and I'll move this to next week. So there are times I do it, but I got to tell you, it's hard not to get cynical about it. And there's, so as you as we read through this, and James says, now come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall do such and such, we'll move to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. So there's people that are going, yeah, this is great. They're going to, you know, that's how you're going to make a profit. Then there's those of us that are going, really? You know, you don't know what. I mean, and so there's two ways we can view this thing, and how do we balance this thing? That's what I'm thinking as I thought through this. And there's a couple other proverbs for the assertive people. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord is what stands. We have all kind. I was going to say I had all kinds of plans. If you would have asked me when I was 25 years old that if I would be living in Dallas, Texas, working for an architect, you know, I would have, you know, there was no way. And I thought, well, maybe if I would have planned, how many are sitting in a place they thought they would be 20 years ago? None of us. None of us. Many are the plans in a man's heart. Many are. I thought I would be the next Chuck Swindoll. That's partly a joke, but partly not. But the counsel of the Lord will stand. It's His work in our lives that really stands. It's for kind of the assertive people to remember. It's okay to plan. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Then for those of us on the other side, the anxious people, Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. There's this sense of, you know, so when I look about at planning and I think about what I should be doing and where, you know, the next step, my retirement, or when are we going up to Alaska to see the baby? I mean, when I get anxious about it, it just weighs me down. It just weighs you down. Since I'm on the anxious side, I know more about that side than the planning side. So if you're a real planner, I'm gonna give you a list in a minute. But turn to Matthew. This is like, you know, you can have favorite parts of Scripture, and you can have not so favorite parts. And the problem is, it's all God's word. It's a problem. You know, when people say, this is one of the tough ones for a guy like me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. You know, verse 16, he was talking about fasting. Verse 19 to 24, he's talking about money. And then 25 and following, he's talking about anxiety. For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life. I mean, think about Jesus standing in front of people. I mean, this must be a pretty common problem. You know, there must be a lot of anxiety generally. Because, and think of him tenderly looking out at his disciples and saying, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I mean, we live in a society. I don't think I've ever worried about what I'm going to eat tomorrow. Or maybe on a camping trip. But we're pretty fortunate. You know, there's people in the world. There were people that he was talking to that worry, that thought about what you were going to eat the next day. So he just leaves them with that. You know, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? We have a bird feeder outside. We love watching the birds. And, you know, doves come and blue jays. And every time I watch those birds, I think, and I'm worried about tomorrow. God flies some birds in and drinks out of our. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to one's lifespan? Actually, probably the opposite happens. And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and do they not toil? They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Don't be like the world. Don't be like them. He's talking to the Jews, and he's saying that's what the Gentiles worry about. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And I'm thinking, but if I just worry about it, he'll maybe be more concerned? I mean, I'm not kidding. And when I read these verses, I'm like, Bob, but, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I really think that's what James is talking about. How do we balance this? What is James trying to say to us? Because he says it in verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. He puts it first. The idea is not just don't leave God out of that's the problem with preaching is most of it is it's me then. Don't leave God out. Put him first. Don't put it at the end of my prayer, my to-do list and say, well, if the Lord wills, I'm going to do all this. That's what these initials mean. And it's going to be at the top of my handout. I'm actually going to use this, to be honest with you, because I thought it was pretty good. The initials are FPTP. First pray, then plan. Don't put it at the end. Don't put plan, then pray. First pray. To-do list, I can't remember ever thinking, well, I'm going to pray about this first. Honestly. I mean, I pray in the morning, but I don't sit down at my prayer list and go, okay, first, let me think about what God has me to do. You need more? I got a bunch more. And I think that's what, so when James says this, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, think about him first. First pray, then plan. First think about who God is, what he's done for us, what he gave us today. Think about the parade last night. Well, how he, you know, and Kelly did a lot of work, Kelly and Steve. And think about how he's taken care of us, how he's taken care of you. How he's brought you through stuff. And just pray and then say, all right, Lord, here's my plans. I'm bringing these before you first. Is this okay? And when we do our prayer requests, I mean, that thing gets huge, you know. It would be nice. I'd like us to do kind of two things. And I know we all have life and we have business and we got to do things. But take this list and just think through. It would be nice to maybe put our prayer request, if we can do it privately on our website. And just, because I forget about the girl that's in a coma. I get busy. You know, I don't have time to think about her. Look at that list and think about just the families here. Just the families here. Not start here. And think about husbands and wives and our kids. And then what I would like us to do is think about first pray about our plans here. I mean, I have plans in my head. You know, and I know there were people that really wanted us to have a vision and a plan, and that's probably good. And I have a vision and a plan, but I think we need to pray first. Pray about what, think about, we drove by our old place in the parade, and it's a kung fu place. And I thought, it's interesting. Somebody asked, how long have I been here? How long have I been here? Have we been here?
8 years.
8 years? So I want us to pray first. I mean, you can use a to-do list for your regular to-do list, but pray first and think about our families here. And just pray. Well, you might not pray specifically or by name, but just lift up all of our families here. There ain't, you know, there's enough of us that we can name them one by one. And then think about what God would have us do. Just pray about that and see what God puts on your heart. Okay? And that's not like this ominous thing. There's nothing going on. It's just, it just struck me about how many things I do without praying. So when you read James and it says, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Lord, we got families here that we got to pray for. We got a building here. We got a church here. What do you want us to do? Anyway, does that make sense? So think of FPTP. I put it in a bunch of different ways, and I don't know. First pray, then plan. And see what God does. And maybe it'll help me chill a little. Chillax, is that what they say now? Is that what the kids say now? And if you're real assertive, and I frustrate you, I'm sorry. Let's pray together. Father, as we approach the Christmas week, and there's going to be a lot of people traveling, kids coming in, kids leaving, the Lamborns are traveling, lots of people are going to be traveling. Lots of people are going to be with family. Father, as we really want to just pray about the weeks to come, what you would have us do, that we now be overcome by the stress of the day and the time and what we have to do and what we have to accomplish, but that we would first pray, first talk to you, first understanding that there are many plans in our hearts, but it's what you will that will stand. Father, thank you for your word, even when it's hard, even when it hits us in our very soul. Thanks for your son. Thanks for this season where we celebrate his birth. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.